China now has what is said to be the world's largest single terminal airport. Leader Xi Jinping personally unveiled Daxing Airport on Wednesday, which comes in at roughly the size of 100 football fields. It's expected to become one of the world's busiest aviation hubs too. The maiden flight was an Airbus A380 headed for Huangzhou. An express train ride south of the capital, Beijing, can get passengers to the new facility in 20 minutes.
A rebound is underway in the U.S. housing market thanks to a recent plunge in mortgage rates. Sales of new single-family homes surged 18% in August compared to the same time last year. And July's sales numbers were upwardly revised, according to data released Wednesday by the Commerce Department. The stronger-than-expected sales figures were fueled by heavy buying in the South and the West.
Growing concern over the health impacts of vaping rocked the leading brand of e-cigarettes Wednesday as the CEO of Juul Labs stepped down. The company also announced it would suspend all broadcast, print, and digital advertising in the U.S. And the planned merger of Altria Group, which has a 35% stake in Juul, and fellow tobacco giant Philip Morris, is off.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Thursday. It's September the 26th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway here. Lots going on in the world. There are some developments with the U.S.-China trade this morning. A big CEO from the Chicago area is calling it quits. And some news about McDonald's as we get going this morning. We'll try to hit as much of it as we can this morning. We'll update the markets momentarily as well. It is Thought Leader Thursday on The Opening Bell. Doug Myers is here from Associated Bank. There are some new banking regulations making their way through the government, including one that involves marijuana and marijuana money and banks. We'll talk with Doug about that first up this morning. A little bit later in the program, Jonathan Mays will be here, executive editor at Restaurant Business Magazine. Some news at McDonald's this morning involving Beyond Meat, and also some artificial intelligence updates on the fast food side as well, impacting McDonald's and some other players. We'll bring in Jonathan at about 5:38 this morning for that part of our business conversation. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. We're seeing a little bit of positive movement this morning in the markets. Heading to the opening bell later this morning, Dow futures are up 45 points, nearly a quarter of a percent. S&P and NASDAQ futures are up just slightly this morning. In Europe, it's been a positive day. In London, up nearly a percent. On the FTSE in Germany, up by nearly a half a percent, more than a half a percent in France this morning. In Asia, a mixed day there. In Tokyo, markets ending the day up just about a quarter of a percent. In Hong Kong, up nearly a third. In China, off by nearly three quarters of a percent. Oil is trading at $56.69 a barrel in the United States, which is up about a quarter. This morning, as we begin, some big names, big news in business locally. The Blue Cross Blue Shield North Carolina CEO, Patrick Conway, is resigning. It's unclear how it will affect operations here in Illinois, but Dr. Conway announced yesterday that he'll leave his position effective immediately. He's been the head of one of the state's biggest insurers. One of the United States' biggest insurers has been under fire after landing a DUI recently. Also, some news this morning about U.S.-China trade. China's government says importers have agreed to buy American soybeans and pork. The announcement yesterday, late yesterday, comes as the two sides make conciliatory gestures ahead of talks next month aimed at ending the tariff war. Ministry of Commerce spokesman this morning updating again on this, saying Chinese buyers have completed deals to buy soybeans and pork of considerable scale, but no specific details have been given on that. Beijing earlier announced it was lifting punitive tariffs on soybeans, China's biggest import from the United States. Ford Motor Company expanding its self-driving vehicle operations. The automaker announced the Austin, Texas will be the third launch market, joining Washington, D.C. and Miami-Dade County in Florida. Ford is working toward launching a commercial transportation service using self-driving cars as early as 2021. Let's begin this morning, Thought Leader Thursday, and Doug Myers is here. He's the SVP and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Doug, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
I want to talk a little bit about reforms in the industry, the financial industry, the banking industry. Congress is getting back to work after being off all summer long or part of the summer, and there are a couple of loose ends that need to be tied up. A couple of them I wanted to focus on because I hadn't heard of them, and I'll get to them, but what are the issues in your mind that are out there that need to be tied up?
Well, there's a lot of things going on in the world of regulation, and ever since the Great Recession of 2008 and 9, there's been a lot of seesawing going back and forth, so to speak, as far as government regulation on banking. One of the big things that has recently come up is they want to spin off the GSEs, which are government-sponsored enterprises, specifically Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And what the government has been doing is had control of these quasi-governmental entities, and they were taking all the profits from these two entities, Freddie and Fannie, because they were unstable and they almost failed back in the Great Recession. So what the government has been doing is they've been taking all the profits from these companies, about $3 billion a year, and putting it back in the U.S. Treasury. Well, the federal government now wants to spin these off like they used to be prior to the Great Recession, and they want them to be capitalized to the tune of about $100 billion each. And that's going to take about 5 years for them to start building up profits to recapitalize the firms. But that's a big issue right now. Anti-money laundering reforms are continuing to hit the newspaper, and the government wants to raise some of the limits on the suspicious activity reports and the cash transaction reports. The marijuana banking issue is obviously a hot topic that hits the papers, and there's a lot of talk about the government allowing the banks, the federal banks, to go into and be able to bank these marijuana companies. I know there's an experiment in Colorado right now where some of the SNLs and some of the credit unions are able to bank these marijuana companies. And so that's kind of a national test case right now on how the federal regulators want to proceed with maybe allowing some federal banks to get into that business.
Yeah, that one specifically, is that going to have to take a law change? Is Congress going to have to pass a law legalizing marijuana nationally for that to happen?
I'm not 100% sure, Steve, but I think it would not be Congress, but it would be the federal regulators, okay. The OCC specifically, that monitors the regulations of the federal banking system.
One of the others that jumped out at me off this list was reforming flood insurance. Why would this be a major priority?
Well, it's been a big issue recently in the past 5 years because obviously, look at Houston, for example. You know, it's had a couple major floods in the past couple years, most recently just last week. And the 100-year floodplains change, and when you have a flood every year in a 100-year floodplain, that needs to be reviewed and revamped, so to speak. And they're looking at maybe increasing the limits for the National Flood Insurance Program.
One of the others, and we've had this conversation before on the Thought Leader conversation, is the data security. We had another breach involving a Capital One bank over the summertime. And this seems to be an issue where Congress has really dropped the ball. To put some teeth into the regulations where these data breaches are concerned.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we've seen a lot of major retailers and a lot of major banks have had these breaches, and nobody knows how to stop them. And it seems like it's moving 90 miles an hour that we can't catch the people who are doing this. And every time you do, there's 10 new ways they can come in and figure this out. And so this is a ever-moving needle, so to speak, on the banking business, on the retail business, on the credit card business. And security is such a paramount issue that as bankers we have to face every day. You know, we do wire transfers. We do a lot of transfers inter-account between accounts in the bank. And there's always a portal for people to get in and to breach these transactions. And that's a real big issue in the banking world today.
customers have to have a level of confidence that banks are secure, don't they? What happens in the minds of consumers if they feel like that's not there?
Well, they're not going to do business if they're scared and worried about their money disappearing. And banks have to spend millions and millions. Some of the big banks spend billions of dollars every year on security issues and technology. And it moves so fast, and it takes so much effort and money to make sure that your systems are secure. And I know at our bank, we spend a lot of time and energy as well doing this. And you have to make sure people have confidence in the whole banking system.
I want to switch our conversation to what banks do to help customers in the fourth quarter. Besides getting ready for Halloween and Christmas, what kinds of things does a bank tell clients in the fourth quarter that makes their lives easier?
Well, I think in working with individuals, you want them to understand financial principles. And as they become more educated and smarter in managing their finances and managing their money, it helps us. And a couple of the ways they're doing that are informing clients of the benefits of automation. Automation can help them by being more timely in their payments and their debt payments, and it can help them save. If you set up a automated savings plan, it can help young people learn how to save every month, and that can be very advantageous to them. Also improving terms of large monthly payments, such as your mortgage or car payments. Most of those are fixed rates. You know, we've had a recent lowering of interest rates from the Fed, and if people go in and look at ways to refinance debt, whether it be mortgage or car debt or any other fixed debt, that can help them save a great deal of money every month if interest rates fall, which apparently they are right now, and we're expecting another decrease probably fourth quarter. So that could help them. Analyzing spending habits. Automation, once again, can analyze all your spending habits, and especially when you counsel young people, they're spending a lot of money eating out or going to the bars or whatever, and by automating the payments and showing them what they're really spending money on, I think that can help them be aware to be a little more efficient and to be savers instead of spenders. And lastly, establishing a budget. And every fourth quarter, we sit down with our clients and we go over, you know, how did we do? Where are you in relation to the budget we had last year? And I think that's very important when you look at financial planning and counseling your clients. So those are some of the things we can do during the fourth quarter.
How much does the bank, including Associated, have the conversation with clients and perhaps the larger clients as well about saving on fees? One would think, okay, this is how banks make money on all of the fees, but how often do you have the conversation about watching out for unneeded fees, excess fees with clients?
We have those conversations all the time. I get several calls a week about fees, and it's very important because we do want to help people avoid fees. And the way to do that is consolidating accounts and bringing more of your monies over to different accounts. And the way you can structure accounts where you can avoid fees is very important because you're establishing a better relationship with them. Sure, banks have to have fees like everybody else to make money. It's not the only way we make money, but it's certainly a bigger part of it. But if you can counsel people on consolidating some things or using your money more efficiently or using your accounts more efficiently, they can save on fees. And that helps us and it helps them as well.
I was reading a report about retirement accounts specifically that people, Americans, are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees over the lifetime of some of these retirement accounts for things that they really probably don't know that they're paying for.
Well, I think there's a lot of companies that have embedded fees, and as regulators continue to look at this, there's more and more notification and more of the posting of the fees where people are getting more and more aware of them. And once again, we want to make clients happy and satisfied with their financial relationship with us and not have to pay fees. And the way you can minimize fees is to have these conversations and have more of your wallet share is what we talk about, and have more of your relationship with us where you're not paying the fees.
There's some news involving Associated Bank over the last couple of months. I've seen some billboards popping up. There's a new slogan line as well, new campaign, Your Money Works Here. What's going on?
That's right. And what we're really stressing is our local Midwest roots.
We spend a lot of time and effort and energy in all our local markets in Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and we spend a lot of community hours in service and volunteering at different things around our marketplaces. And that's very important to be a local-oriented bank, which we are. And, you know, it's not just preaching about branches. It's preaching about where your roots are. And we're very Midwest-based, and we do business in the Midwest, and we're here to stay. And our advertising is reflecting that, you know, we make all our decisions locally here in the Midwest between Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota specifically. And it's very important that we spend a lot of volunteer hours. Our employees are very engaged. And it's all about working and being efficient in our communities.
There are a couple of things at play from a consumer standpoint. That one-on-one, we've talked about many, many times. People want that one-on-one. But on an institutional basis, the companies, local companies who are putting their money in banks want that local connection as well, don't they?
Well, they do. And consumers and businesses want the local decision-making. They want to be able to do business with local banks here in their marketplace. And that's what we're all about.
Doug, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Thank you, Steve. The number to call me is 312-544-4600, and we'd love to have conversations about your money, your wealth, financial planning, or how we can help better serve you.
All right. Great conversation as always. See you next time.
Thank you, Steve. All right.
Doug Myers, Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager at Associated Bank, something that we talked about with Doug in the news this morning, as a matter of fact, a measure to protect financial institutions that service cannabis companies passed the House in a bipartisan vote yesterday, becoming the first standalone marijuana reform bill to ever clear the Chamber of Commerce, Congress. The legislation ultimately, if it's made into law, would protect financial institutions and ancillary firms that serve marijuana businesses from criminal prosecution and other consequences from selling marijuana in many states legally where they do that. The measure passed yesterday 321-103.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Good morning. It is Thursday here in The Opening Bell, and we switch gears now to talk about a little bit of breaking news involving Chicago-based McDonald's. McDonald's announcing that it's going with Beyond Meat in Canada, at least to begin with. The company says its new burger, new plant-based burger, will be available in select restaurants in southwestern, I believe, or southeastern Ontario for a limited time only. Lots of news also involving McDonald's and some other things this morning we want to talk to Jonathan Mays about. Jonathan is executive editor at Restaurant Business Magazine, is with us this morning on the phone. Jonathan, good morning. Welcome back to WGN.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So looking at a photograph here of the burger from Canada, the plant-based burger, what do you know about this?
Well, they are calling it the PLT, plant, lettuce, and tomato. It is made with a Beyond Meat patty, plant-based patty, made specifically for McDonald's, and they're testing it at a small number of locations in Canada. Very interesting development. I'll admit that I didn't expect that one this morning.
Yeah, and why is that? Why did you not expect that?
Because I know that McDonald's has been has plant-based burgers in Germany and some other countries, but I had been a little skeptical as to whether they would make a move like this with Beyond Meat, which is a newer company, given the fact that there are offerings from companies like Nestle and Tyson that are existing customers of the burger chain. So this one surprised me a little bit, but it just shows you where this plant-based meat is going, and this is a fairly interesting development.
Yeah, and there are a couple of interesting things about this specifically. In Canada, they've been a couple of burger chains have already been testing these plant-based burgers. I know there was maybe was it Hortons, I think, that was doing
mm-hmm.
it. They actually pulled back a little bit in Canada on that, but that's been out there as well. What do you think this test is going to do for McDonald's? What do you think they'll be looking at?
Well, they'll, like anything else, they're going to see if they can if they can generate sales and interest at those particular restaurants. They'll also look at operational issues. With McDonald's, with McDonald's, they have they would theoretically have to devote some grill space to make this the plant-based patties versus a regular meat patty. They'll look at things like that, whether it's easy for their teams to operate enough with the sales. In short, they're going to look to see if it generates enough sales and traffic to make sort of the operational challenges worth it.
The company is billing the sandwich, the PLT, as a delicious, juicy, perfectly dressed, plant-based burger on a warm, soft sesame seed bun with the iconic McDonald's taste customers have come to love from McDonald's. The folks at McDonald's and their kitchens have obviously been testing their own specific recipe for this.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting name because it brings back memories of the old McDonald's McDLT, which was a failed product in the early 1990s or late 1980s. In the United States, where they would have the lettuce and tomato on one side of the they had a two-sided box, and on one side they had the lettuce and tomato, and then the other side they had the burger patty, and they would keep the hot side in a warmer. It was sort of a gimmick in the late 1980s, and it didn't. Obviously didn't pan out for very long, so the name is sort of reminiscent of that, but it's a fascinating little story.
So let's talk about the cost of this. I know at Burger King the Impossible Whopper is a little bit more costly than the regular burger, isn't it? How I wonder if that'll be the same with this burger at McDonald's.
Right. It's starting at $6.49 Canadian. And I'll admit that I don't, off the top of my head, can't really say how, that necessarily compares up there. But seems like a slightly higher price. If they're going to do this in the United States, certainly, or anywhere else, it's probably going to be priced at a premium to their other burgers. That's definitely a consideration. For one thing, McDonald's historically has had a tough time selling really higher-priced items. At some point, people don't want to spend that at McDonald's specifically. It tends to be a lower-cost, purveyor of food. So, that's one issue. But right now, frankly, people are willing to pay this price, at any place that is offered, Beyond Meat or Impossible Foods products. They've generally been willing to pay these higher prices. We'll see where that one goes.
Yeah, according to Google's money converter here, that would be about $4.90 in the United States, so a little bit more than a regular quarter pounder.
Yeah. And, that's a little bit, slightly pricey, not really that bad, actually, if you think about it. Usually a $5 price point, although McDonald's has, in the U.S., McDonald's has a lot of sandwiches that have crossed that $5 price point. So at this point. But.
Yeah, I know since the last time we talked to you, Jonathan, the Impossible Whopper has made it to stores nationwide, fast food shops nationwide at Burger King. Do you have any sense of how that's going? I know you say it's pretty popular, but I know people are eating it.
Right. They are. As far as we know, based on anecdotal evidence, discussions with franchisees, they are selling the Impossible Whopper at a pretty good pace, and It is the largest burger chain at this point to have something like this. So they get a lot of curiosity sales. Impossible Burger and Beyond Meat tend to generate sort of a lot of attention themselves. It's a really effective marketing tool for someone like Burger King, and they've been able to the sandwich is so far, from what I've understood, is to be a success.
Well, while we're still talking about McDonald's, I wanted to focus in on the latest tech purchase by McDonald's. They've bought some technology that conversational artificial intelligence. I'm guessing this is going to have something to do with the orders we place in our drive-through visits.
Yeah, McDonald's has been pretty intensely focused on this area, and for a good reason. They get 70% of their sales through that drive-through. So, and they have been pretty relentlessly focused on this particular area. Certainly this year, they had their dynamic yield purchase earlier. That $300 million purchase of a drive-through menu board technology that sort of makes their menu boards act almost like Amazon, suggesting items based on time of day and weather and things like that. And this one, potentially down the road and probably soon, because McDonald's is sort of in a hurry on these things. It's essentially going to almost increasingly automate the entire drive-through process. And that will improve labor efficiency. At least McDonald's hopes so. There's already evidence that the dynamic yield purchase is increasing average check, so it's increasing sales per order. So it's a real, a real fascinating set of moves that they've made on this front this year.
Is it likely that we're going to see humans taken out of the whole chain, the whole drive-through chain, as our visits? We might not even see a human?
Well, no. At some point, they're going to have to hand you your order. That seems to be where this is going. Right. Potentially reduce the number of people that it takes during that process. At this particular point right now, it certainly doesn't seem like, there's anything that will take your credit card and hand you your order yet. But, it's heading in that direction where they're, needing fewer people for that process. And for somebody like McDonald's, a typical McDonald's, requires a hefty number of employees, all day long. And, given sort of the state of labor costs at the moment, it's sort of an area a direction that they kind of need to go in.
I don't know, Jonathan. I recall the Flippy robot that's flipping burgers. I think the robots can pretty much handle about anything these days.
Yeah, well, they've been testing, they've been tasting automated fry machines. They're looking at automated drink machines. The future is, it's rapidly coming, where we're going to see a lot more robots behind the counter.
All right. Jonathan, we appreciate you being on with us this morning, sharing your reporting. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Jonathan Mays, executive editor at Restaurant Business Magazine. You can read his latest at restaurantbusinessonline.com.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, in Europe, markets are higher this morning, nearly a percent higher in London, nearly a half a percent higher in France. In the U.S., futures are pointing toward an opening, positive opening on Wall Street as well. Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures are all up now about a quarter of a percent. And we're going to add Beyond Meat to the movers list this morning after our conversation about McDonald's. Beyond Meat shares are up about 14% in after-hours trading. McDonald's is up about a quarter of a percent after the news that McDonald's will sell the new Beyond Meat burger starting in Canada. Now let's get an update on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we watched yesterday's market trade at the Board of Trade, we saw December wheat down 4 cents a bushel, December corn down half a cent, and November soybeans down 5¾ cents a bushel. But a green screen on the livestock picture yesterday at the Mercantile Exchange. December lean hogs gained $2.17 a hundredweight. October live cattle up $1.07. October feeder cattle up 75 cents a hundredweight in yesterday's trade. Big news yesterday was the signing of a new trade agreement with Japan, and that happened at the UN General Assembly meeting where President Trump got together with Prime Minister Abe to sign that agreement, and it was applauded by nearly every farm organization. For example, National Pork Producers Council officers, the President David Herring and President-elect were invited to be present for the signing, and they said that we have seen market share declines in Japan, historically our largest value export market for pork. But with this signing of the agreement, we again may be able to open that market just a little bit. U.S. Grains Council yesterday, too, said the Japan is one of the largest and most loyal U.S. corn customers, having bought more than $2 billion of U.S. corn in the most recent marketing year, and that will enhance our position there. The president of the Illinois Farm Bureau applauded the signing of the agreement as well. So finally, a win in the trade situation globally. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of more stories before we leave you here this morning. Walmart's Sam's Club is teaming up with several healthcare companies to offer discounts on everyday care its customers might delay or skip because of cost. Starting early October, Sam's Club's members in a number of test states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, will be able to buy 1 in 4 bundles of healthcare services, ranging in annual fees from $50 for individuals to $240 for a family of up to 6 members. The pilot program could eventually be rolled out to members in all states later. Vaping products have been one of the fastest growing segments of the legal marijuana industry, but they're taking a hit from consumers as public health experts scramble to determine what's causing a mysterious and sometimes fatal lung disease among people who use e-cigarettes. The amount of the legal pot industry's revenue that comes from vape products has dropped by 15% nationwide, with some states, including Oregon, seeing decreases of more than 60%. A number of states like Michigan have pulled back on the legal allowing of some of those vaping products. Illinois is one of the states considering a similar move. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Thursday, September the 26th. A threesome of major economics reports leads off today's reports. Final GDP growth for the second quarter is out, with analysts estimating 0.2% growth, along with wholesale inventories for August. The weekly look at first-time unemployment claims, pending home sales for August also coming today. Housing industry experts see pending sales bouncing back from July's decline. Also today, a number of Fed speakers on monetary policy, including Esther George, Mary Daly, the Fed balance sheet numbers today. And on the earnings calendar, Accenture, Conagra Brands, Carnival, and Micron Technology among companies reporting quarterly earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, September the 26th.